Hello and welcome to Coffee House Shots, the Spectator's daily political podcast. I'm Lara Prendergast, and before we begin, just a quick reminder about a new subscription offer. You can get 12 issues of The Spectator for just £12. To get it, just go to spectator.co.uk/election offer. Today, Theresa May has promised what she says would be the biggest expansion of workers' rights by any Tory government if the party retains power. I'm now joined by our editor, Fraser Nelson, and Katie Balls, our political correspondent, to discuss. So Fraser, it seems like the Tories are turning red. What's going on?
Well, that a question many Conservatives are asking themselves. Some are thinking, look, we actually won the last election via Ed Miliband. Why do we have to accept so many of his policies? Is it because Theresa May is inherently left-wing? Is it because she is a pre-Thatcher prime minister? Or is this all simply cynical? Perhaps she doesn't mean any of it. Or perhaps this is a new direction of conservatism. Now, we won't know yet because Theresa May tends not to tell us what she's thinking. But we do know that the Conservatives are heading into territory that they've never gone to before. Many senior Conservatives, even the kind of more Thatcherite ones, don't really mind this new left-wing language she's using. As one of them put it to me, if this is the price that we have to pay for destroying Labour in the heartlands, then we will pay this in 20 energy caps. We don't really mind. So you are seeing the Conservatives, I think, being opportunistic, as the Conservative Party always is. It sees Labour weakness, it sees Labour voters in play, it thought Brexit wrested them away from the Labour Party, it wants to grab them, knowing that David Cameron failed to do this at the crash. So perhaps these more Labour-sounding policies might help.
Katie, do you think Theresa May means it?
I think the policies, particularly together, sound quite, you know, impressive and quite bold. But actually, if you look a bit closer, they're not sweeping reforms. Like things like the increased living wage, I think, is at a lower rate than it would have been mm-hmm. under George Osborne. Also, the plan for social care, so workers can take up to a year off. I mean, that's unpaid. So that presumes you'd be wealthy enough to be able to take a year off work. And then on representation in the boardroom, it's not saying, I don't think that you have to have someone like, you know, of a low level in the boardroom. It's saying you have to have a representative. So you can already see how that people might kind of loophole around that.
Fraser, is there any way of squaring this with the kind of conservative ideology, what Theresa May is doing?
Certainly is. I mean, up until Margaret Thatcher came along, the Conservatives weren't really that much of a liberal free market party. I mean, many people regarded Margaret Thatcher as being very unconservative in her radicalism by quoting Hayek and things like that. They thought this was strange American-style ideology that didn't really belong in the Conservative Party. So there is a long conservative tradition of basically taking power where you can get it, trying to be for the nation, be for security. Theresa May is all of those things. And we might be seeing the steady eclipse of the Thatcher experiment. It's funny even to hear myself say that phrase. But, you know, it's funny that there's a bronze statue of Margaret Thatcher being commissioned. We saw it last week. It's going up in Trafalgar Square, apparently. And it now seems at the same time Thatcherism is being slowly buried in the Conservative Party, perhaps because they thought it was too hard to sell after the crash, perhaps because they think, well, the Conservative Party is going to be a bigger tent now, and if we're going to have a coalition with Labour voters, then we need some soft Labour language. But whatever it is, it seems to be working, judging by the opinion polls.
The language they're using does sort of sound like the thing Corbyn might be using. You know, he's talking about workers and various things like that, but how's it all going down with Labour, Katie?
I think a lot of voters seem quite open to it, but I mean, the left-wing press has been quick to kind of poke holes in it. And I think some voters are still probably too tribal to really necessarily go for it. And also, I think if you look at the polls and you look at the big lead the Tories have, a lot of that is currently coming from UKIP voters who are going back to the Tories. I don't think there's that much proof yet that this pitch to Labour voters is working.
So one of the most striking things about the opinion polls is that Jeremy Corbyn doesn't seem to be doing that much worse than Ed Miliband was a couple of years ago. Now, this is kind of quite strange when you think about how much worse a leader he is. So this is puzzling the Conservatives. So as Katie says, you're seeing UKIP people basically give up, turn up to Tory regional offices saying, how can we campaign? I was talking to one Tory MP yesterday who was saying there's so many UKIP people coming in to help them campaign, there's not enough work for them, they've run out of posters. So you're getting that happening. But what you're not really seeing is a collapse of the Labour Party in the opinion polls, not in the way that you'd expect. That makes everybody wonder whether yet again the Labour brand could be a lot stronger than people thought. It was in 2010 election, that's why David Cameron didn't get his majority, and this might prove to be the case again.
Do you think it's fair to say that the Tories will do whatever it takes to get back in power and are kind of willing to sacrifice various ideas?
Well, yeah, Tories have always liked power as much as Labour like ideology. This is the great either vice or virtue of the Tory party, depending how you see it. I personally am not sure how much of this your average voter takes in. Do you think anybody, or how many are going to go there thinking, ah, Theresa May's policy on letting workers go and care for an elderly relative? I don't think anybody would be really thinking about it. This is mood music, I think nothing more, and mood music that I don't think they're really going to notice. I think this has got more to do with what Theresa May intends to do with the party once she's elected. I think this is more to do with her position relative to the rest of her cabinet than it is to these voters who only ever really see politics through their peripheral vision.
Katie, how much of this do you think is still just to do with Brexit? And actually that's what people are really voting on here.
Well, I think with the UKIP vote that's going to the Conservatives, a lot of that is down to Brexit. And with lots of the things which are more, again, today, the kind of corporate crackdown policies, that's going to be the real test of whether domestic issues really get a play. Labour do want domestic issues to get a play, mainly because they can't actually talk about Brexit without contradicting themselves in the space of 2 hours. But I think the fact that Liberal Democrats don't seem to be getting this surge lots of people thought they would get does suggest that Brexit isn't the only issue here. And I think there was a poll, was it last week, which showed that the 48%, you know, that voted to stay, I think it's down to probably like 21% who...
Yeah, well, they split it out. They were saying, yeah, sure, 48% voted to remain. They haven't changed their mind. But of that 48%, only 21% want to refight the battle and want to stop Brexit. The others are reconciled to it. So there, you can't really see Britain as Remainers and Brexiteers. There are three groups. There are the Brexiteers, and then there are those who want Brexit.
The hard Remainers.
The hard Remainers, yeah. And the basic, the ones who think, OK, we lost the argument, but I'm a Democrat, so I think Brexit should happen. So this is very interesting, because the Liberal Democrats' strategy was based on the idea that you'd have half of the country just desperate to find a pro-European party to say, stop this madness and let's overturn Brexit. And in fact, the democratic tradition of British voters means that even those who voted against Brexit want it to happen because they want people's votes to be respected.
And that middle group, who do you think they're most likely to support? Do you think it'll be the Tories?
Well, I'm not so sure that that middle group really exists in a way that is meaningful in this general election. The Lib Dems had hoped to, when this election was called, they thought this was the greatest Christmas present they could ever have. But all the messages we've heard from them so far have been strange reports about their leaders' thoughts about whether gay sex is a sin. And then last week we had a policy on marijuana. They don't seem to be cutting through as a serious party. Now, of course, the press are against them here, but you don't get the sense of a Lib Dems being able to take advantage from the disaggregation of a Labour Party. But then again, as we were saying earlier, there isn't that much evidence that Labour is disaggregating. You've got lots of despair at Jeremy Corbyn. You've lots of anecdotal evidence of Labour switchers. You have Tory local government gains in Labour areas. But does it really amount to a collapse of a Labour vote that benefits for Lib Dems? Not yet.
And just a reminder that you can subscribe to this podcast on the iTunes store. It's called Coffee House Shots. And we've got a special subscription offer. You can get 6 issues of The Spectator, as well as full access to our website for just £6 at spectator.co.uk/election offer.